This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to Road School Moms Radio, where education meets adventure. Your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino of Full Time Families and Mary Beth Goff, the road trip teacher, will share advice, information, and encouragement to bring your road schooling efforts to new levels. Hello and welcome to another live edition of Road School Moms. I'm one of your co-hosts, Kimberly Travaglino, full-time RVing mom and road school teacher to four road schooling kiddos and co-founder of FullTimeFamilies.com, the resource for your full-time RV adventures as a family. And on the line with me tonight and every Sunday night is my lovely co-host.
Hey, it's Mary Beth Goff, your road trip teacher, also a homeschooling, traveling mama to four beautiful kiddos. I'm the author and creator of RoadTripTeacher.com, and we like to chronicle our family travels over at DiaryOfARoadMom.com, and we are excited to come to you this week from wherever in the world you are. How you doing, Kimberly?
I am doing great, Mary Beth, and I am coming to you from the most unexpected of locales. As you know, when we last talked last Sunday evening, I was headed due east to Virginia, Williamsburg, and nothing was going to get in my way except Hurricane Joaquin, who decided to dump lots and lots of rain on Virginia. And since I, as an RV veteran, know that a lot of RV parks are in low-lying, less desirable locations, my driver and I decided that it would be best if we stayed west. And so we are coming to you tonight from Kentucky.
Ugh, you're so close. How can you be in Kentucky and we're not together? That's craziness right there. I'm coming to you live from Illinois, so go ahead.
Okay, so when last we spoke, you were in parked there on the mighty Mississippi, and since then
you've
taken yourself to Illinois?
Yes, I came to you last week from Natchez, Mississippi. We were right there on the Mississippi River on the Louisiana Mississippi line, and we drove all the way back to Indiana, and I'm currently over with my family members visiting over in Illinois and waiting to cross paths with other full-time families. I've never been so close to so many FTFs as I am right now, and I'm so excited. I don't know which one of you I'm going to get to see next, but I'm counting the days, let me tell you.
Oh, that's exciting. Well, you know what else is exciting is that there's more and more FTFs to be parked around because we are on the cusp, Mary Beth. We are so close. I can feel it. I'm all a tingle. We are so close to 1,000 members. It's crazy. I'm so amazed at the growth of this organization and the quality of membership. It just continues to astound me. And so hopefully this week we'll be giving away our GoPro. I'm just a titter. I'm Twitter. I don't even know what I am. So excited.
Well, you know, it has been really fun to watch that membership grow and to meet so many of the families along the way. And I know that the 1,000 mark is a really big accomplishment, so we're all anxiously awaiting for that to happen. In addition to the fact that any of us that are part of that group already has a chance to win a GoPro, and that's pretty exciting.
Yes, absolutely. So look for a live on-air drawing coming this week. We'll keep you posted. What did your road school look like this week, Mary Beth?
You know, our road school was really packed full of traveling. We, you know, as you know, we really left Branson last Sunday, made it down to Natchez, Mississippi Sunday night, had pilot car business on Monday, and then immediately left it was really the next afternoon, and made our way back through Memphis, which I can't even believe. It didn't even dawn or occur to me that you were close. But I have to tell you, the morning that you posted something in Facebook, because I was driving, I didn't see it. Had I been riding in the passenger seat, I probably would have been flipping through my Facebook and known you were there. But because I was driving, I didn't see it till later. But I think we were within probably an hour and a half of each other when I went through Memphis.
Oh,
and yeah, doesn't that just kill you? And
it does.
Anyway, we made it back here, so our road school has been kind of on the road. I'll have to tell you that we so enjoyed our 24 hours in Natchez, and that's almost exactly what it was. I'm just going to chalk it up to the things that happen and that we know that we can always go back. I mean, you're the one that always says that, so I tried to not dwell on it. But it's so funny. My kids really squeezed out as much road school as they could in those 24 hours. Have you ever been to Natchez, Mississippi, KT?
I have not. Tell me all about it.
Well, there's a beautiful bridge right there, and I don't know. There's so much history there. It's kind of crazy. That there was so much to learn, and we didn't get to touch on any of it. But we did, you know, we stopped and read some roadside plaques, and we, you know, learned a little bit about the area right there. And we actually, the RV park we stayed on was on the river, and it was, hold on just 1 second.
Okay.
Sorry, KT had background noise. We're from the dogs, even. Anyway, sorry.
I you say hold on, and we're on a live radio show. I go, okay. And I just sit here and wait. So if anyone is listening, this is exactly what a conversation goes like between Mary Beth and I when we do finally have the 5 minutes to talk. So that's why you're just listening in. So go ahead. Tell me all about that.
Right. Anyway, sorry about that. We'll hope we can see. Now this is where we need Jeff over at Forge Fire Media, right? Because he could edit that right out on our podcast at iTunes. But anyway, we actually stayed in a really cool RV park right on the Mississippi called. Now it just escaped me. I'll have to post that in our Facebook group because it really was a nice park. It was level, and it was had a nice pool and it had a playground and it was right on the Mississippi and it was in view of this really cool bridge. And the very first thing that my kiddos done, my girls, they went and got their art pads and they went and sat down on this walkway they had. That was another neat thing about this area. They had a cement sidewalk, basically, but it was like a nature walk that went several miles along the river. And they went up there and sat on that and they drew the bridge and they actually took the time to research the bridge. And they somewhere, one of the boys found out that the Bowie knife originated from some kind of a standoff with two people. I'd have to have one of them get on here and tell you about it because I really never followed the story. But apparently James Bowie had some sort of a fight right there at Vidalia, Louisiana, and they from that came the Bowie knife. And so right when we got there, we were on the end of this humongous Bowie knife festival. It was crazy. I've never seen this RV park had been full of RVs. We couldn't even have got a spot the night before. So there's just tons and tons of history down there that we can't wait to go back and learn about.
That's awesome. I love when you come across these places that you don't even know what's going to happen when you get there. Because, I vacillate between hyper-planning and then the Wing-It plan, back and forth. And we've been on the Wing-It plan this week in Kentucky because we didn't anticipate being here. And you're true to form, there's always an opportunity to do it again. So last time we were here, the big boys did the Corvette factory with Chris, but nobody did the Corvette Museum. And so as we were driving to Kentucky, Chris said, I'd like to do that Corvette Museum now that we're going to be there the second time. And I thought, well, yeah, I know there was a giant sinkhole, so that should make it interesting. And so we went. And it was interesting. The sinkhole part was interesting. So
I don't know how far you are. I'm not. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't know how far you are from Louisville, but if you're still up in that area, they have a really, really, really good children's science museum in downtown Louisville. And they have homeschool days. It's been a while since I was there, but they have a really good hands-on kids science museum in Louisville. And this Louisville Slugger Museum is there. That's another fun thing. In that area, it's a really
yeah. Well, so far, I was so jealous of you. Was it last year when you did your whole Lincoln thing?
Mm-hmm.
I was really, really jealous because we haven't done any Lincoln things. So we are within an hour of Lincoln's birthplace. So we're going to be checking that out and then continuing on our way to Virginia. So,
if you really want to get the Lincoln experience, you need to come north. Through Illinois, where he was a senator, and we can take you to the Vermilion County Museum, where he stood on the porch. I mean, if you want to get the full effect, you really need to drive north.
I totally want to get the full effect and just hang out with you, but unfortunately, I have to get to Virginia because I just did. So, Virginia, here
we'll
I go.
See. We'll see where you are next Sunday.
Yeah, okay. I like that idea. So, tonight, as you know, Mary Beth, there have been a crazy amount of family travel shows, right? There's all sorts of, you know, flip this RV, and I'm buying an RV, which of these three should I buy? And I was just watching right before the show, Big Time RV, which is filmed over at Lazy Days, where we'll be hosting the next rally. RV shows, family travel shows, it's a new genre, new trend in all things cable and television. And so tonight I'm really excited that we have, she's not on the line yet, but Christine Pitkin, I hope I'm saying that right, Pitkanen, Christine Pitkanen, her family starred in the TLC show Big Crazy Family Adventure. Did you get to see any of that?
I did not. However, after you booked this interview on the show, I've watched some of the episodes that they have on their website, and it's crazy the miles that they went. You know, they clearly weren't in domestic America here in the north, in the United States. It's a crazy how many miles they went, and the I love the tagline. They went 13,000 miles without a single airplane ride. And when you really think about that, that's pretty amazing.
It is really amazing, and I'm really excited to talk to her about all the things that went into that travel because, you know, we've done many shows, although you and I are domestic travelers, we're RVers, and we go where RVs could go. We have done a whole bunch of shows about international travel, including last week's show with the family from Nomad Together, Paul and Becky Cortman. And then we did that other show, I think it was called Interested in an Around the World Adventure. Do you remember that one?
Uh-huh. I'm trying to. It was Keeper of the Home.
Yes. That's right.
I can't think of it, but it was Keeper of the Home, and they traveled for a year around the world, and I forget how a crazy amount of countries that they covered
right.
in a year.
Stephanie, you're right. Stephanie from Keeper of the Home joined us back in August to talk about how you could afford doing it, how you could do it with small children, and specifically shared with us, now this is not applicable to the Crazy Family Adventure, but that there's special airline tickets that you can buy for those kinds of travel arrangements.
Right. I'm trying to find that link right now, and I'll post it to our Facebook page and our group. If you're on the line with us, we'll post that link in case you want to check out that link.
Yeah. So that was really fun. We have a couple of shows that are dedicated to around the world travel. So
that's
maybe,
so funny.
Maybe
do you know that we done that show on August the 17th of 2014?
Yes, I see that now. Is that date pertinent?
What? Say it again.
Is that date pertinent? Is that
August
like 17th? Our anniversary? Should I know about that date? Yeah.
No, it's not an anniversary date. It's just that's the date that we done that. We do have an anniversary. It's March the 1st. We already missed it. We have
yes.
to wait till next year.
Yes.
Sorry, it's already
year.
Gone. Inspired living for homemakers. That's what we called it. Creator of the home. Keeper of the home.
Right. So, and before we bring Christine Pitkanen on, I want to talk to you about an idea that I haven't even been able to bounce off of you yet. As you know,
oh,
we've
no.
changed texts
we
all weekend long.
red flag.
Okay, so you know how last year we did Road School Moms Favorite Things, and we highlighted specific Road School Moms who had businesses, like if you had a Jen Holt with 31 Gifts and Stephanie Simpson with Usborn, and we let them contribute a gift, and then everyone that contributed gifts got their name in a hat, and we pulled names out of a hat, and boom, we had a big exchange, a big gift exchange, and it was so much fun. Remember that?
Fun. I do.
Well, you know, the one criteria that we kept was that you had to have a business to put in a gift. But what if we just open this up to all Road School Moms, and you just pledge whatever gift that you're going to pledge, and just by pledging the gift, we put your name in the bucket and pull the names. So we're actually giving gifts. It can be for your business. It can help support your business if you want. But if you don't have a business, that doesn't preclude you from joining in. You just have to put up your gift and we'll, you know, settle on a dollar amount that will work with everybody. What do you think?
I love it. Of course I love it. You know, I love anything that's some kind of a crazy project that we can just blow up. And when are we going to do this? Next week?
No. No. So true to form. Because last year we said we were going to make it a tradition, we will do this on November 22nd, the show before Thanksgiving.
Awesome. I love that idea. We did do that right before Thanksgiving because it was right before the crazy shopping season officially kicked off. And that'll be a great prelude to our 6 weeks of holiday mini show specials. I love it. Perfect. Done.
Oh, yay. I'm so happy. Okay, perfect. I love that it's done. Because then what we'll do is on the Facebook group, again, Road School Moms / groups on Facebook, we'll start like a pledge list and all moms can join in and you don't have to be present to win, but it's a lot more fun if you are. And then we'll do the live drawing. And what we'll do this time is that you'll take half the list and put it in your sack and I'll take half the list and put it in my sack and we'll just go back and forth.
Awesome. I like it. I like it a lot. I wonder where we'll be on November the 22nd. I know where you think you're going to be, but we'll see where we really are.
I'm not exactly sure where I'm going to be because I'm going to be en route to my mother's house in Jersey, but I won't be
well,
there yet.
We all know that we can be en route. When you're en route, that can change in a heartbeat. So that's funny that you even say that. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. So where do you think you're going to be for Thanksgiving?
Really, I don't even know where I'm going to be tomorrow. No, I do know where I'm going to be tomorrow. I have no idea. I mean, my gut, I guess, tells me that we'll probably be in Florida. You know, it's hard to ever get past that, the Thanksgiving we had in Key West. You know, for our family, that was our first major holiday on the road that we spent away from the normal family members that you'd always been with before. And I don't know, that holds a special place in all of our hearts. And so we always, you know, ever since then, we've talked about going back to the Keys and we even discussed that this year, but I don't know. I think we'll probably be in Florida. Unless we're in New Jersey.
Cool.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's totally cool with that. One of the things I'm looking forward to most is going to the night before the parade. I don't know. It's a big tradition in my family, the Macy's Day Parade. My grandmother worked for Macy's for many years, so she walked in the parade for many years. And so it's a very big part of our family. But going to the parade the night before and watching them blow up the balloons and stuff, I'm just so excited to do that with my kiddos because I've made them watch the parade every year. You know, they don't have that. We've been on the road for so long. They don't have that same sense of why it's such an important tradition for me. And we haven't spent a Thanksgiving at my house in Jersey, at my parents' house in Jersey, I think at all, since I've had all four kids. So it'll be fun to share that tradition with them and to do those things with them.
Well, that's fun. I didn't ever really think about the preparation for the parade. I bet that is kind of a spectacular event if you're from that area.
Yeah, and it's not as crazy as if you go to the parade. The parade is kind of crazy.
Yeah, you know, it always just seems for me, and you know how I hate cold weather, so I'm just a big fat baby when it comes to that, but it always looks so cold during that parade. Is it cold? Is it that cold?
It is cold, and you know, those poor Rockettes, they're out there in bikinis and pantyhose. And they got to do the show rain or snow or sleet, and I'm always watching them for blue lips.
That's funny. Well, you know what, I'm posting this on our chat, but you know what I'm thinking too. I wonder how long do you have to wait to, like, how do you enter a float in the Macy's Day Parade? Is that a big deal? You probably have to pass all kinds of things to get into the Macy's Day Parade, huh?
You probably have to be a very, very large corporate sponsor. I mean, they do Build-A-Bear and South Dakota Tourism, and it's, yeah. In fact, you know, I've been watching that parade my whole life, and I had no idea how parades worked about, you know, entering floats and being able to be a part of things like that because it seemed so pie in the sky.
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine that those are the float making for that. I mean, that's got to be its own whole business. As elaborate as they are, they must start on those months, if not years ahead of time, probably, to outdo the next year.
Yeah. Well, you know, quite honestly, a lot of the floats are exactly the same. It's not like the Rose Parade where they create them out of organic material. They build it once and keep using it.
Really? I didn't. I guess, see, that tells you how. We watch the Macy's Day Parade every year. Why don't I know that? I guess I'm just uninformed when it comes to the Macy's Day Parade. You're going to have to educate me.
Yes, I'm more than willing to. And the big thing about the Macy's Parade that is more than the floats is those gigantic balloons,
right,
which sometimes have to be grounded due to weather issues. And I think one woman was actually tragically injured or killed during one of the parades when a balloon hit a traffic light and sent the traffic light down on her. Awful.
Can I remember that?
A lot of Macy's Day Parade history. And do you know the point of the Macy's Day Parade, obviously, is to sell lots of stuff. But, in you know, for, like, the 10 and under crew, the point of the Macy's Day Parade is all there to usher Santa Claus from the North Pole down through Herald Square and to Santa Land at Macy's, which, have you ever spent any time in New York City for the holidays?
I haven't. I've never, you know, haven't we had this conversation? I've never been to New York City in an RV or otherwise, ever. Never been there. That's one of my big leap list locations.
Well, then, that's where you need to be for Thanksgiving. This is just insane. How have you not been there?
Yeah, then, I'll tell you what. You come here and learn about Lincoln this week, and then I'll consider coming to New York City or wherever it is you want me to come for Thanksgiving. Done and done.
Okay, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. But so Macy's is this ginormous multi-level department store. It might be the oldest in the country, if not definitely one of the oldest in the country. And they take over one entire floor, they gut it, and they turn it into Santa Land. And it's this enchanted land with elves and Santa, and you go and you stand on a line for about half a day to take a picture in Santa's lap and tell him what you want. And a million years ago, when I worked in Manhattan and I was single, I applied to be an elf with a very good friend of mine. And unfortunately, unfortunately for me, she got chosen and I did not. And
oh, no.
I have elf envy and have had elf envy my entire life since then.
Oh, no, that's the worst. I mean, that's the worst right there. I'm looking at all that. You know what? This is this will be the beginning of my crazy, because now if I know you're going to Macy's, then I'll have to come up with some little snazzy road trip teacher Macy's learning guide or something. By then, I'm looking at all these crazy facts about the Macy's Day Parade and all the history. There really is a ton of interesting information out there about it.
Yes, I would love to do a road trip teacher learning study about the Macy's Day Parade. That would just make my Thanksgiving, or at least a Thanksgiving learning study with information about the Macy's Day Parade, because it is an American tradition. Do you see how many years it's been going on? Forever. If you go to Macy's flagship store in Herald Square, you will see pictures from all the way, I want to say the 1930s. And I also
1924,
want to tell you,
November 27th, yeah. 1924, the first Macy's Day Parade.
Yes. And I belong to a family of immigrants. So my grandmother's grandmother actually worked for Macy's, that Herald Square location, as did her sister. So Macy's runs deep in our family, in our blood. So pretty interesting. They still have, if you go there, you can get on the back escalators, and they still have the actual authentic escalators. They're wooden and rickety, and they're reminiscent of a wooden roller coaster. They make that sound, and they're very, very narrow, and the steps are very narrow, and you can go ride those escalators on the back side of the store.
That's so interesting. Do you know what the first Miss Macy Parade fact finder, do you know what the first character balloon was in the Macy's Day Parade? Do you remember?
Ooh, Well, I wasn't there. It's that man, right? That big, fat, round man?
Meow. No.
No, it was not?
It was probably round.
Was it Felix?
Yes, Felix the cat.
It was probably round.
It was round all right, but it wasn't a man. It was Felix the cat, according to, you know, your friend Google.
Yes.
In 1927, Felix the cat became the first giant balloon to ever take part in the Macy's Day Parade.
Fun. See? So much information, right? And just,
yeah.
I want everyone to tune in after the, well, we're not going to have a show that Thanksgiving weekend, but the following show, we'll share some pictures of what that road school week looked like when we went to the parade. And I've been there before. I've been there to the parade several times, and I've been the night before several times because I worked in Manhattan, so I just, you know, hop over there on that Wednesday night. And it was great fun. I've got pictures of me and Snoopy and pictures of me with Big Bird. You know, I hang out with a pretty elevated crowd.
I guess. Who knew? I don't have any stories like that, I'll tell you. A simple girl from the Midwest. No Macy's parade, no big balloons, nothing like that. Just corn.
I there must be some confusion because Christine Buchanan has not called in yet, even though she confirmed with me this afternoon. Oh, you're there!
I'm here.
Wait, I don't see you at all.
Can you hear me?
A phantom caller. That's
yes,
awesome. A phantom caller. That's great.
I can hear you fine. I can't see you on my switchboard. Have you been here all night while we were talking about the parade?
About 20 minutes. I've just been a little mouse.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. No, you're not showing up at the switchboard at all. So we were just making conversation, waiting for you.
Oh, that's so funny. No, I've been here,
I apologize
here, but
for that.
That's okay.
Well, welcome, Christine. We're so happy to have you and to educate you extensively on the Macy's Day Parade.
That's right. I learned all types of things I didn't know.
So, Christine, take a minute and introduce yourself and your family to our listeners.
Okay. Well, my name is Christine Pitcaden, and I have a husband named Bruce Kirkby, and we have two children, Bodie and Taj. And we went on something called the Big Crazy Family Adventure, which was on, it was actually filmed. It was a trip from Canada overland to the northern Himalayan mountains in India. And it was on Travel Channel. There were 9 episodes just following our journey. And, yeah, I guess I'm here to talk about that a little bit.
Mary Beth.
Yeah, what else do you want me to tell you about it?
Well,
yeah,
nope, that's okay. I just didn't want to interrupt. Sorry, we're all off. I feel so bad about the whole blabbering on of the Macy's Parade, and I'm looking at your website, Christine, and I'm just so amazed at 13,000 miles. 13,000 miles in a year, is that right? It was in a year?
It was actually 6 months we took.
Oh,
we took
goodness.
3 months to go overland, and then we spent 3 months at a Buddhist monastery in northern India once we got there.
So when you started out, I'm so amazed that 13,000 miles is a long way in 6 months. Is that something that you completely planned before you left, or did you do more kind of impromptu traveling as you journeyed?
You know, actually, it was pretty planned, like just where we wanted to go, and we pretty much had to go a certain route to get there overland. Leaving out from Canada, we took a cargo ship. Well, first we canoed just out our kind of backyard, caught a train, went to Western Canada across the Pacific Ocean from Vancouver. We took a cargo ship to Southern Korea. We took some trains. Caught a ferry over to China, and then once we were in China, we were all kind of overland. Like, we could take SUVs, trains, all types of transportation all the way to our final destination. So it was kind of China, Tibet, Nepal, into India, and then up north to our final destination.
Okay, Christine, take us back to when you and Bruce got the inspiration for this adventure. What did that look like?
Well, you know, we both, like, I've studied some Buddhism, so I have an interest in Buddhist culture, and Bruce has been to the Himalayas several times for expeditions. And it was just, we knew we would go there one time, and we would, you know, our dream was to live in a monastery and just experience that simplicity of life. And I think it just came down to we started feeling so distracted and busy at home. And one day we just looked at each other and we said, you know, it's time to go. Like, we've been saving our money. Let's make this happen. You know, we want quality time with our family. It wasn't really happening. We thought this is a way to spend more quality time with our kids on a trip.
So when you went on this journey, this specific 6-month journey, how old were your kiddos?
3 and 7. I have 2 boys, so, 3 and 7, yeah.
Awesome. So can you tell me then, when you went, if it was your plan, what was it, more of an educational journey or a spiritual journey or just more of a recreational type thing to spend more time with your family? And, you know, if that was what the intention was, and is that what ended up, when you look back, is that how it really worked out?
You know, it's funny, it's kind of a bit of everything that came out of that journey. Bruce and I have done a lot of traveling. We did a lot before we had kids, and we enjoy getting out of our comfort zone and learning and growing and feeling alive by traveling. And so we wanted to share that with our kids. And, you know, and we wanted our family to have that quality time. So what came out of that was the fact that, for one, our boys just became just the best of buds. Like, they bonded in a way I feel like wouldn't have happened had we not done this journey. And even as a family, like, just having to make decisions in a tight unit all the time, I feel like it just helped us to grow closer together.
How did having a film crew in tow affect your journey?
It's funny, we were going to do the trip anyways, and about 6 weeks out, then it came up that this film crew was going to come with us, and those things come and go. My husband's always got his hands in all different pots, and it just kind of came to fruition. So 6 weeks out, we're like, oh my goodness, we have a film crew. I guess what was the main challenge with the film crew was that we weren't really in control of our schedule in the way we would have organically been. We had to do certain things at certain times, and sometimes that was tricky. But I would say on the flip side, we ended up doing way more activities than we would have ever done had we not had the film crew with us. And our kids, and I guess Bruce and myself, we bonded or got to know the crew in a very special way too.
I can imagine how that is. So when you look back, is this something that you think that you'll do again? Not necessarily with the film crew, but is this the sort of trip that you have in your future plans?
You know, absolutely. My husband is a writer and a photographer. That's kind of what he does. And we just, you know, we've always done cool trips, he and I. And then we had kids, and we have done a few big trips. Before we did this trip, we went to the Republic of Georgia and hiked across some mountains there. That was a 3-month trip, but I was breastfeeding my little guy. He was 8 months, and Bodhi was 3. So I feel like that trip was even bigger in some ways, like harder for me, more physically challenging. But, yeah, we definitely plan to do more trips.
What do you say to people that say, wow, you're such an inspiration, but I could never do that with kids? What do you say when you hear that?
You know, I kind of feel like, you know, anyone can do this. Like, it's scalable and customizable. It's more about getting out of your comfort zone to help you learn and grow. I feel like adventure matters. I feel like getting out and seeing the world matters. You know, I want my kids to be worldly citizens, and I think anyone can do it if they really, you know, if they really, like, the big thing with kids is just having their parents around. So if you're going out and you're doing things with your kids, they're pretty safe, you know. Like, you go through your day, you structure your day. It's not that different. I think the difficult thing is getting out the door. Like, you know, once you're out the door, you're going. You figure things out.
What is the one thing, looking back now, that you wish you would have known before you set out on that international adventure?
Probably to take more wipes along. Oh my goodness, actually we went on, part of the leg was a canoe trip, and somehow I forgot my wipes, so they got packed in another bag, and of course Taj, my youngest, had all these like poo blowouts, and I was just like, where are my wipes? But no, in all seriousness, like, there's nothing that I would really change. I mean, challenges come up, you know, we had to deal with spicy food, we had to deal with altitude, heat was a big issue. I mean, it got as hot as 110 sometimes in India, you know, but you just deal with those things as you deal with challenges at home, I feel.
And why was it important not to take any planes on your journey?
You know, it was a bit of a romantic notion, but at the same time, we really wanted to show our kids that the world is connected. You don't just, like, transport yourself from one place to another. And, you know, you're just so discombobulated when you arrive somewhere that's, like, you know, 14 hours away or 16 hours away. You're jet-lagged. You don't know. You know, it's suddenly culture shock. And I feel like we just wanted to show our kids, look, we're going out our back door and we're taking a ship across the Pacific, and just how the world is connected, and have them experience all those cultures in between and learn about those cultures.
I love that. That really gives us a window into what you were thinking, because I wondered the same thing, Kimberly, and I'm glad you asked that question. And I guess that's kind of what we see in the domestic travel part of it too, is that we get to see things that we wouldn't have seen if you just kind of done the tourist thing. Like, you know, you talk about you get in a plane and you go from point A to point B and you miss all the things in between. I can't imagine when I listen to you talking, and we've done another show about international travel, and I think about, I just cannot imagine getting out of the comfort zone, like you say, out of this country. what would you, I mean, I know you've kind of covered this once, but what would you say to somebody that we've talked about this, Kimberly and I have both talked about that we both would like to do this, but I don't think either one of us has what it takes say we're going to do this.
You do. You're getting out of your comfort zone all the time by traveling through the States. Like, it's varied. It's different. You're experiencing different subcultures, different cultures. You're doing it. I think all it is it's probably a little – seems a little scarier because, yeah, now you're bringing in perhaps a different language, different currency. But, you know, there are lots of, like, now with the internet and Googling and Lonely Planet sites, and if you get a Lonely Planet book, like, it can help guide so much with what you can do and how to do it, how to book tickets. It pretty much tells you everything.
Well, I love everything you've said. I especially love assimilating the information that you just shared about the culture shock that plane travel can attribute to your journey. And I love that we as RVers actually drive through the transition from one place to another. And that's a benefit I'd never, ever been awakened to until you just said that. But then you mentioned resources. So tell us what resources, other than Lonely Planet, that that a family who is thinking about this should definitely go get themselves?
Well, you know, also trying to find people that have done a trip that you'd like to do overseas and speaking with them, like, that's your best bet. Like, word of mouth, direct experience, that always helps. But even searching websites, of course you want to go on the sites that maybe have travel alerts and are going to tell you if there is anything dangerous, you know, danger zones. But, you know, it's, you know, you just have to really honestly, the Lonely Planet is, we don't go much further than that. Like, we look at that and maybe talk to some people who have been in certain areas. In fact, our final destination where we went to the monastery, some friends had been in there, and you couldn't get in by road. You had to hike in, and that appealed to us. We thought, you know what, this culture is going to be intact. We want to check it out. So we got some information from them, and that helped sort of spur on, you know, and they knew of a guide, so we got in contact with this guide who gave us more information. So, you know, finding someone who's been there and they maybe had an outfit that had a guide that they liked, that's also helpful.
So what, and you might have already answered this question in what you just said, but what, out of this particular trip, what was your absolute favorite and why? Your favorite place?
My favorite place was Tibet, like hands down, and it's this magical spiritual place, you know, full of people who are Buddhist, which means that they, you know, they're trying to, being in the moment, they have such strong faith for their belief system, and they've come from all over the country on, you know, prostrating, like hands and knees kind of thing to get there, walking hundreds of miles to come to this. In Lhasa, the capital, there's a very holy temple, and they spend their lifetime and save up all their money to come to this temple. And so we were there, and just seeing all these pilgrims was just like such a sort of spiritual, moving experience for me. And it just made me just feel, it just humbled me.
Well, that's wonderful. If people want more information about your family or Big Crazy Family Adventure, where can they go and find that?
I think it should still be on Travel Channel. It's already aired. The episodes have aired on Travel Channel, but I think you can download them on iTunes for cheap or Amazon.com. You can get the series, and it might give information about us. I'm not sure. I think the first episode's free on Travel Channel if it's still there.
And do you guys have a personal blog, too, where you record your travels?
My husband's on Instagram, Bruce at Bruce Kirk. Well, no, that's his email. Oh, my goodness, this is terrible. I'm so terrible at social media. I mean, I've got a Facebook account. He's on Facebook. He probably tweets. I think his Twitter handle is on Travel Channel, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I just posted the Travel Channel link to our group and our Facebook group. So if you're listening to the podcast and you can't find that, just shoot us an email over at Road School Moms, and we'll be glad to provide that link to you.
Yeah, and you could search Bruce Kirkby. He's written a few books, and, yeah, I'm sure you could find information that way.
Well, Christine, thank you so much for joining us and for inspiring our listeners tonight to dream bigger and do more grand things with their lives and make their lives an adventure. And thanks so much for listening to us talk about the Macy's Day Parade. We hope you're inspired to learn more about that.
That was awesome. You know what? Thanks for having me. And I think what you guys do is so cool. Homeschooling, what a neat idea. It was new to me. I didn't really formally homeschool when we were away. I just felt like my kids were learning so much just experientially by experiencing everything they were. I mean, we took a workbook for grade one or something for my oldest. But anyways, what you do is incredible. I really hats off to you.
Well, thanks so much.
Go ahead, Mary Beth.
Nope, I was just going to say thanks so much and for just sharing your story with us, because it really was like listening to you as you were, you know, into a window, I guess, with your travels. It was very interesting. So thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good night.
Have a good one. You too.
Okay.
Thanks, Christine.
Okay, bye.
Oh, my goodness. That was a first.
Didn't you just feel like we rambled on and on, because we were rambling on and on? About the Macy's Day Parade.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so to our listeners, here's a little secret. If we run this very low key, I don't know if you noticed. We run this very low key, and you know, there are times where the guests are a little late or don't call in at all, and at that point, Mary Beth and I just continue on without having to tell anyone and just see what happens. But it turns out that my switchboard was not auto-populating at all, and I was stuck, and I did not know I was stuck. So I didn't see her there, but she was there, and there were a whole bunch of listeners there. So it's great.
Well, on top of that, we all know how distracted I can get, and I'm in a place tonight that I'm normally not in, and I've had at least three different instances where people walk through and we're literally slamming doors and yelling at other people. I'm trying to hit buttons and good night, nurse. This has been a crazy night. But didn't we learn so much? We learned so much. Listening to her talk.
We did.
She makes it sound so easy. She breastfed,
you know,
her whatever.
She's got a very kind, Yeah, she's got a very calm vibe.
Right.
And I see, now I'm looking at the chat, and Shirley Salazar is all over the chat making random comments. So, but yeah, I loved listening to her talk. I could talk to her all night long.
I mean, we talk about hiking and all this, and she talks about hiking across whatever, you know, with breastfeeding a baby. Or, I mean, what? She made it sound like she just, you know, had an extra backpack or something. That's very inspirational.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm, so yeah, definitely check out that show. It's called, I've clicked away. I'm on, deeper into their website right now. Big Crazy Family Adventure. And you can find it there at traveltravel.com/shows/Big Crazy Family Adventure. So fun family. I'm interested in learning more about them. Oh, what's this week look like to you, Mary Beth?
Well, you know, we're going to spend at least a week or so in Indiana. We have the chance to meet up with a couple different SDF families that are in northern Indiana. And I'll have to say, just like with everything else, I'm watching some of the other pictures, and the Williams, for instance, were at the Johnny Appleseed Memorial Park, which I'll say, you know, I've lived in this area for my whole life before we started traveling, and I never had any clue that that's where that was. That's one of my oldest road schooler. That's one of his favorite stories, is about Johnny Appleseed. So I'm guessing that we'll be taking a trip maybe up there over the next couple of days. That sounds like something kind of fun. And in our neck of the woods, this is the time for the Cover Bridge Festival, which from an entertainment standpoint is a really a lot of fun, because about a million people converge on this one county in Indiana over a 10-day period. And it's just a complete crazy festival with vendors and crafts and all kinds of entertainment and food. Oh, my goodness, the food is crazy. But there's also a lot of history to that county. And I'll have to say that it's something that we were involved with as a family, because that was where we were from. We had a business that was centered around that festival. And because we were always so busy with the marketing and the setup and the teardown and the actual, you know, actual just promotion of all of it, I don't know that I ever really took the time to really delve into the historical part of it, because there's 33 bridges from that county. And I think we're going to take the time to maybe go on a little road trip of our own, not in the rig, of course, but there's a lot of back roads that aren't even two lane. It's just one lane. So we'll be taking a road trip and try to see what we can learn about the places that we've lived in all our life, and see what we can learn that's new.
I love that. There's always something new to learn about a location. And, you know, you and I talk about expectations all the time, but expectations sometimes get in the way of your travels. Like if you think, oh, I've lived here my whole life, there's nothing good here, blah, blah, blah. But if you use the tools that I, for one, use these tools like O-Ranger and TripAdvisor and whatnot, use the same tools in the areas that you think you're familiar with, you'll find some amazing things there that you've never done.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is such a great time in this area and where you're at also, down in Kentucky. You know, it's such a great, I mean, this is, you know, apple picking time, and it's, you know, a lot of the leaves are going to start turning, and there's just a lot of fun fall activities that are throughout this area. So shouldn't be a shortage of things to do. Do you know what tomorrow is?
No.
Not an anniversary.
Is it our anniversary?
It's not. I'll remind you when it's our anniversary, when it gets closer. Tomorrow is Do Something Nice Day. So I think all of us should post in the Road School Moms group on Facebook something tomorrow that you do nice for someone, and then you can email me at info@roadtripteacher.com, and I'll be glad to give you a free study guide of your choice.
Oh, I love that. I want to do something nice. Well, that's your Do Something Nice, isn't it? You're already doing
mm-hmm.
something
See, I
nice.
Just checked
I'm not
my,
doing anything
I just,
nice.
I just checked mine right off the list.
Okay, Do Something Nice Day. Are you going to post that there on the group to tell the people?
I am. I'm going to post it right now. As we're speaking.
Did you see that group's up to 936 members? That's amazing.
I mentioned that to you earlier. Yes.
Did you? Did I not hear you?
No. I was, when we were talking about 1,000 members on FTF, it rattled my brain to say something to you, because I know you don't watch that. But this week when I added some of the members to it, it was in the 920s back at the, you know, the beginning of the week. And it's amazing how that group has grown. And if you want to know the difference between, there are two Road School Moms pages, if you will, when you go on Road School Moms. One of those is just a fan page. And so it has all of the links to Kimberly and I's websites and things that we post separately and together as Road School Moms. But our Road School Moms group that is a closed group is closed so that we can all share information with each other and not feel like we're kind of putting things out there that maybe we wouldn't want the whole world to see. So that's why we have two different pages or groups, if you will. The closed group is really a place that you can, you know, feel safe and talk about your Road School Moms issues or concerns or maybe just, you know, thoughts for the day.
Yeah, you know, that comes up a lot when people are in the stages of dabbling in the idea of becoming a Road School Mom. And sometimes they want to reach out for information, but they don't want to tip off their friends and family at home that they're actually even thinking in this vein. So that's a closed group, meaning that people can see that you'd be part of the group if they're looking, but they can't actually see anything that you're posting there. So just FYI. Next week, we have Heather Creekmore. She runs a blog called Compared to Who, and she's also a featured blogger / editor for Dallas Moms Blog. She wrote this, we'll post the article during the week. She wrote this article that really resonated with me about what homeschool moms are and what we aren't, and how we can all band together to support each other. And I think that's something that homeschool moms do. I know for sure, having lived it at the rally, that Road School Moms really do celebrate one another, really, you know, realize that there's not a lot of competition by Road School Moms, not at all that I've seen. I see us as a collective unit all working towards the common goal of not screwing up our children beyond what we can, you know, get fixed by therapists. So I'm really excited to talk to her more and hear more insight from her next week. And then next week, again, stay tuned for our GoPro giveaway. We'll figure out a way to do that live on the air. So we'll be looking to schedule that very soon. I'll have to check when we get off, see if we're at 1,000 members yet. Really exciting time for our organization. You know, the more people that we can spread the word about FPF, the more leverage we have in the marketplace with RV manufacturers and RV dealerships and sales and service departments and campground memberships, the more we become a market with a say. And so this is a great step for all of us in changing the atmosphere of nomadic families and the what people think of nomadic families. A long time ago, Mary Beth, when we started this, which was a year before we hit the road, so 6.5 years ago, I would call companies and say, hey, yeah, there's a bunch of us families that live in RVs and we want to come to your campground and pay less. And they'd say, please don't come at all. And I'd say, no, it's going to be great. We're really great families. You're going to love us. But there was really a culture issue. So there, you know, there was a stigma, and we've come a long way since then. And that was evidenced most specifically by how well Branson received us. I mean, they put us in the newspaper, they put you on the radio, the campground actually requested that we come. It was, it's an amazing turning point for us. And I'm just so pleased and amazed to watch this all unfold.
Well, you've done a good job of, you had a vision and you've done a really good job of following up on that vision. And the biggest thing I can say about you, and kudos to you for this, because you are, you're really good about being flexible and not being stuck in the road that you're traveling. You know, you're good about looking of the detours along the way and maybe that it's time to take a right or a left. And that's something that I think is a really good attribute to you, and it shows in your group. And, you know, what a great organization, and 6.5 years is that's a lot under your belt, and you deserve it. So I'm glad they're calling you. That's how it should be.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm really just walking on you all night tonight. I'm sorry. Speaking of good, speaking of great organizations, I'll just take a really quick second to say that Kimberly and I here at the Road School Moms are hosted on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, and it is the second birthday of that and of the network. And so as a group, we are celebrating this time with all kinds of giveaways, and there's so much to learn about all of it. I'll just invite you to go over to the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. The Facebook group is probably the best way to find that, and check out the giveaways and all that's happening with the second birthday celebration.
Yeah, that is really exciting. Felice does a lot of work to keep this network together and to keep us at the forefront of all homeschooling media channels, and we just can't be thankful enough to her and the support she's given us and the platform she's given us to have this ministry with our moms and to reach out to them across the miles every Sunday night. Without Felice, we would not be able to do this. So shout out to the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, and definitely get involved in those giveaways, because I hear it's Pick Your Prize, and there's a lot of cool prizes there.
Right, there is. I'm looking at it right now. I'm going to post that on our chat if you're there. And speaking of other things that you can do, if you're listening to us from a podcast over at iTunes, please, when you're done, give us a review. Kimberly and I like to, of course, we like 4- and 5-star reviews, but if you want to give something less than that, that's fine too. Just please shoot us an email to either one of us so that we know what we can do better to serve you. And if you do a review, all you have to do is shoot me an email at info@roadtripteacher.com or Kimberly@fulltimefamilies.com, and we'll get you the digital product of your choice from my learning shop over at Road Trip Teacher free.
Oh, so generous of you, Mary Beth. So wonderful. And I just love to read those reviews and hear how people are resonating with the message and being connected, because that's what this is all about. Previous to having this on Sunday nights, I really did at times feel like I was in an ocean all on my own. And it's lovely to be connected to our Road School Moms community every Sunday night, wherever in the world I am, at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's just a blessing to me.
It is, me too. And my weeks don't get started right without it. And that, you know, last Sunday night I was just getting into our RV park and didn't have time to catch up with you, and I hated it. I was so mixed up, you know, just going out of that night. It's like I didn't know what everybody else was doing, and I missed the chat. I even if you don't know this about our show, during the time that our show is on, we also have a chat window over at roadschoolmoms.com that you can sign on to. And that's so fun to see what's going on kind of behind the scenes. Everybody has comments and, you know, questions and things that they're answering. And I so miss that if I don't get to be a part of it. So Road School Moms, Sunday night, every Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern time, from wherever in the world you are.
And that's all I've got.
Okay. Well, if that's all you've got, that's definitely all I've got. That's great English right there from the Road Trip Teacher, right?
Definitely.
Well, you should tune in next Sunday night, because it'll be a big, I'm sure it'll be a big surprise where one of us is, winds up. I'm sure one of us will not be in the place that we were supposed to be. Let's see if that happens. And until then, we invite you to be safe, and God bless your travels, and we'll see you next week.
This is Kimberly.
And this is Mary Beth, your Road School Moms, on the road where education meets adventure. Until next time, we wish you safe travels and leave you with our traveler's prayer. Lord, be our guide and protector. Let those I encounter be blessed by my words. Let my hands be filled with your work, and may I be filled with your grace and kind words for others. May I be a light unto those around me on the journey ahead. Amen.
Amen. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. If you'd like more information, go to roadschoolmoms.com.